audio by Raising Free People Network.
You can't keep using tools of oppression and expect to raise free people.
Peace and welcome. Episode 184 of Fair of the Free Child podcast. This is Akila S. Richards, unschooler and believer in our collective liberation. Listen, feeling all the feels as I'm recording this episode. So much happening. I don't know how these copyright things work. Like, can I just play a Bob Marley tune at the beginning? Like, so much trouble in the world. Because, I don't know. I feel oftentimes like there are songs that can probably summarize how I'm feeling much more than me talking for 10 minutes before the interview. Anywho, I'm taking a moment to just be with the complexity and the necessary dynamic nature of being alive and Black right now. I imagine I could have said that same sentence at any time, any period in history, but here we are right now. And I'm wondering how you're feeling. I'm wondering, as you're taking time to listen to this, how you're feeling. I'm wondering what brought you here. What about this brought you here? Several things brought me here, and one of them is that I want to send love to folks who were affected by Hurricane Laura. That's your name. I know that Haiti and Dominican Republic were affected. Here in the U.S., quite a few states, particularly Louisiana, Arkansas, Texas. So just wanting to ask you to join me in just sending some love to people who are affected by that hurricane right now. The March on Washington, which started in the early 60s, Martin Luther King, the I Had a Dream speech, the anniversary of that is also happening right now. And it's something that I want to presence. Do with that what you will. I also know that I can see and hear a lot of stress coming from folks who watched or read about the national conventions that happened this week as well. So just sending love and light to folks as you process that. There's also lots of fires happening in California, people evacuating, other people dealing with load shedding and loss of all kinds. Like, Chadwick Boseman, actor, legend, played T'Challa in Black Panther and several other movies that he just like straight up, oh my God, the roles. He passed from colon cancer, and that's affecting a lot of us in our communities for various reasons. And of course, the ongoing uprisings and feelings around continued police brutality and murder and like state sanctioned fuckery at varying levels, whether it's dealing with the government through voting or the government through laws or the government through lack of protection. There's a lot to feel through, and many of us are public. I think because we are forced to be private in some ways, being alive in this named pandemic, like we're at home more and we are socializing less. It's giving us a level of, I don't know whether it's courage or don't give a fuckness, I don't know, or combination therein, to just really say how we're feeling about the things that are going on. And I know that as I was just checking in with folks through WhatsApp or seeing folks on social media, I see a lot of a sense of doneness, like, yo, what the fuck else could happen this year to test my reserves, to test my will? And of course, you know me, I'm thinking about all facets of that, but particularly how all of this is affecting the way that we relate to young people, the people over whom we have power, the people who tend to bear the brunt of whatever it is that we can't deal with. And you and I might know that from the experience of the child or the adult. So one of the reasons I'm here is to offer this episode with Shauna Murray Brown, hopefully in service of your capacity to process and rightly deal with all of these complexities as you live in your body and try to be in community with people you care about and try to shift your actions to match what you are learning about yourself and the world and possibility. I'm hoping that this is in service of that. So that's why I'm here. And that's why Shauna is here. She is a licensed clinical social worker, currently in a doctoral program at the University of Maryland in their School of Social Work, where I will be teaching a continuing education workshop, a Raising Free People workshop. So first, let's talk about a couple of courses that I'm excited about. We're talking about courses, summits, and books today. Then I'm going to shout out my Make It Happen family. And then we will get into Shauna's interview. All right. So courses. The first one is one that I've been mentioning over the past few episodes. It's called Intuition Work, and it's by Kelly Limes Taylor, who you have heard on this podcast a couple of times. She is the author of the also internet famous article titled Ours First. And it really just talks about self-directedness as very indigenous, very Black, very much how we do and have always done. And so she's developed some more ways for us to work that knowledge and be with that. And I'm so excited to be able to share that with y'all. Oh my God. So the first course called Intuition Work, because it's a series of courses. The first one, registration opened on the 26th of August. So you listening to this, it's open. Go get it. It's over at oursfirst.com, and I'll also have the link directly on the show notes page, of course, but I'm going to read what Kelly wrote about Ours First, specifically the Intuition Work course. This first five-week course in the series starts with the easy but not so easy practice of recognizing and following our intuition in both big and small ways. While we discuss our beliefs about intuition and how it shows up in our lives, we will also document our weekly practices of following where our intuition leads us, talking and supporting each other throughout our individual processes. The purpose of this course is to grow our recognition of our intuition as not only helpful, but as primary and important guides for our lives. Yes, yes, yes. So excited about that. So make sure you head over to oursfirst.com to get more details and register for Intuition Work. Shout out to Kelly for that beautiful offering. The second course is called We Will Dance with the Mountains. Let Us Make Sanctuary. Listen. So that course is led by Bayo Okomolafe, who is also the forward author of Raising Free People book. Shout out to Bayo. I'm so excited about this course. So I'm going to be joining him for a session inside the course, as well as a lead up conversation to the opening of the course. So a couple spaces, the pre-talk, and you'll find me inside the course as well. I am so excited about it. Bayo is someone that I've just loved in terms of his writing and energy and his role in my deschooling work long before we met. And then we were in South Africa at the same time as a result of Zakia Ismail, who you've heard on this podcast a couple of times, as a result of her bringing us together for a decolonization and unschooling conference in Johannesburg. We met there and it was just love, love, love. And we've just stayed in contact since then. And right now have been finding just really delicious ways to share in each other's work and lives. Him through Raising Free People book and me through this course. So I'm going to read you a bit about what Bayo has written about this course. And of course, the link will be on the show notes page as well. Collective research, inquiry, and cartographic project emerging on the heels of cataclysmic endings and strange inflections. This course is ceremonial inquiry, collective sense-making, and prophetic exile. It is about unlearning mastery, becoming fugitive, and slowing down in times of urgency. It is a response to the questions that electrify our troubled skies. Where do we go when there's no path forward? Where do we go when there's no hope? Where do we go when even justice feels threatening to our necks and our lives? Where do we go when we can't breathe? Where do we go when victory and salvation are huge risks to take? What might it mean to make sanctuary in these times? So I'm going to leave it there and encourage you to head over to the show notes page if you are interested in this course. I'm also going to gift a few spaces in this course to a few of my Make It Happen family members who are over on patreon.com/Akila. So let me send them some love out loud right now. So you know I love, love, love this segment of the podcast. This is the first time in season 5, I think, that we're shouting out our Make It Happen family. And I am so excited to do it. Leslie, let me start with Leslie, who is over at Latinx Parenting, is one of our new patrons. I'm so grateful for our growing friendship, Leslie. I really appreciate having been in conversation with her on the Parenting Forward podcast. That was great. And then we've just been chatting in each other's DMs on Instagram. Really, really grateful for the work that Leslie is doing. And I'm so grateful too that she's getting more and more attention. Like a lot of us Black and Brown folks now, y'all know the deal, are getting this new attention, and let's see what the sustainability of it looks like. But I know that there's certain people that I have no worries, no concerns about whether white people will continue to do their work beyond now, because I know that some of us as Black, non-Black, Indigenous, and people of color, the attention that we do get, we know just what to do with that piece. And Leslie's one of them. So Leslie over at Latinx Parenting, sis, I appreciate you and thank you so much for becoming a member of our Make It Happen family over on patreon.com/Akila. So here is who else is in the mix as of now. We got Melanie, Jenny, Molly, Nina, Gladiator in Sweats. I love it. Ruby, Deanna, Amber, Vanessa, Chrissy, Marie, Courtney, Francesca, Danielle, and Michelle. Thank y'all so much. And again, as a reminder, Fair of the Free Child podcast is run by your donations, your support. And when you head over to patreon.com/Akila and put your coin in the river, what you're doing is saying, I appreciate this and I want to make sure that you and your team can make this happen every week. We have recently billowed out into a whole ass network with multiple podcasts and projects. So beautiful. And so when you support us over on Patreon, you put all of that in motion, and I appreciate love you. So whether you got a dollar to put in that mix or you want to cover one of our monthly expenses or annual expenses, let's have the conversation. And I so appreciate love the way that y'all have been showing up for us. And let's make sure that that continues out in the world. Yes, yes. Another bit of bliss is that Raising Free People book is almost here. Your pre-orders are coming in. I appreciate love you. If you have not yet pre-ordered your copy of Raising Free People book, what you doing? The link will be on the show notes page, of course, so you can head straight to it. It's also right at the beginning of raisingfreepeople.com. Soon as you log on, there'll be a little pop-up thing for you to have the option to purchase the book. But I'm so excited about it. And I think you will be too. Raising Free People, Unschooling as Liberation and Healing Work. More to come on that, but grab your copy. So of course, there'll be lots of virtual book tour things and maybe some in-person ones outdoors, maybe at parks or something like that. In the meantime, I am going to be sharing some Raising Free People work and insights with a few communities. This past week, actually, I was over at Alder Commons and in collaboration with the Village Free School. And we talked about some Raising Free People things there. That was good. We had quite a few people on that webinar. And I was also working in collaboration with the Rowe Center in Massachusetts. They have a gathering room and I did a Raising Free People workshop there. That was really dope and fun. Thank y'all so much for coming through. Let's see. I also, this is exciting, will be on a couple of summits with Dr. Shefali, who a lot of us know from just the conscious parenting exploration world. She has what's called a Super Powered Summit that she's doing in collaboration with Rini Jane. It's the title of it is Raising Resilient Kids in the Pandemic and Beyond. So Dr. Shefali and Rini, they pulled together 15 folks to talk about resilience skills for right now. And I was one of them. That was so much fun. And shout out to Shefali and Rini for the invitation. And of course, I will put the link to that summit because I think all of the talks are free and open. And so I'll be sure to put that link there, raisingfreepeople.com/184. So let's finally, I feel like this is two episodes in one, but let's finally get into this conversation with Shauna Murray Brown. You're going to want to get a pen out or something. I don't know what you're doing while you're listening, but you will absolutely want to take some notes because Shauna brings it.
Y'all, you know, you can probably tell by the smile in my voice and the gigglings that this episode is going to be something special. Everybody that I invite to Fair of the Free Child podcast is somebody who is living in a way that I think gives us example for language and practice for liberation work. And Shauna Murray Brown embodies that all up and through. And I'm so happy, sis, that you are here with us. Welcome to Fair of the Free Child podcast.
Yeah, this is so great. Thanks for having me.
And this is Shauna's energy. Like oftentimes, like I'll get a message from her and be just in like a regular humdrum ass space. And then by the time I finish listening, I'm like, what I want to listen to right now, I need some music. Like,
yes, it just be like that sometimes.
Yes, and I'm here for it, all of it. As you all may know, so much of what I want to explore together this season and beyond that is to take the compartments, take the boxes away from this idea of self-directed education, specifically unschooling. Oftentimes, we think about unschooling as a way to make education better, more natural, easier for young people and for adults. Bet we could start there, but we can't stay there. This work of deciding to raise a free person, which includes oneself, is connected to everything else that we do and feel, all our relationships. Everything is everything. And Shauna, what I so love about the work that she does is that hers is rooted in liberation, just like what we talk about here. And how she does it is by really looking at the lens of therapy and how that is connected to colonization and what we can do as Black folks to make sure that this particular way of healing, therapy, is actually useful for us. And in order for it to be useful for us, it has to be taken away from and understood outside of the context of colonization, which is like the norm in so much of our society. Shauna, now that's my like little perception of that or my idea of it. Can you talk to us a little bit in more detail about the why and the what that is what you do?
Absolutely. I think I would have to go back to my own childhood, right? Really just feeling that there was not a healing space. There was not a safe space. There wasn't a village to support my family and our own transformation. I can point to maybe elementary school, really grieving and mourning the experiences of my own childhood being with a mama who was struggling with addiction and wanting so much for someone to support us and our healing. And what we got was this very fragmented, sort of service-oriented, not very helpful support. And what my family did really got me to visualizing what healing would look like at a really young age. So I would say that my journey began in seeking healing for myself and my family and identifying, even in middle school, like my mama would go to therapy or she would go to her methadone clinic or we would go and get food from the church. And when I was with my auntie, I would ask her, I said, well, how come they just doing therapy with my mama? Like, aren't we all impacted? Like, how come they only talking to her? And why doesn't it seem like anything is getting done? Like, what about what I'm feeling? And my auntie would be like, you know what? You can create it. And so this was, remember, for anyone that is familiar with Baltimore City, right? I know somebody is listening that's from Baltimore.
Shout out to Baltimore.
Right. Riding in a car with my auntie on Liberty Heights in the west side of Baltimore and having this conversation with my auntie about how I felt healing should happen. I said, Auntie, we should be able to just go into a house and it should feel like home and we should all be getting this healing work. And so translating those experiences into my walk and trying to heal myself from that very traumatic journey is how I became a liberation-focused community healer after earning an MSW, after sort of getting the trainings in mind-body medicine and all of these things, and still now in a very schoolish environment, mm-hmm. as you would say, and the doctoral program. So my whole journey began from that space of how come ain't nobody doing a healing work with me and my mama?
Yes. And see, there's so much in what you've shared, Shauna, including I want to highlight the reality that as you did this MSW and continued all of these studies, the genesis of that is rooted in actual Shauna, because Shauna was a little girl who was recognizing, because that's a part of her gift. That's a part of what she has been entrusted to use to support her people and herself, is that she could recognize that the healing could not be complete if all of the people impacted by the harm weren't doing the healing work. That's something she recognized as a little one that some of us would not recognize as grown people, not because we're not good people or smart people, but because our magic, that particular thing, isn't rooted in that. And Shauna's is. So as she continued to educate herself, I imagine that there was a level of connection and even liberation that you could identify. You had to pick it out because it wasn't necessarily always readily apparent in schooling because it was rooted in who you are. Is that a correct assumption, Shauna?
Oh, yes. I mean, I remember too being, I guess I would be, maybe it was late middle school and high school. I mean, I did quote unquote well in school. I earned A's, right? Yeah. I was in National Honor Society and all of that stuff, but I was in pain. I was sad. And I was arguing with my auntie regularly about how she wasn't my mama and about where my mama was and really sort of seeking that. And all of the things that auntie tried to do, I wasn't with it, right? That experience now, like, it's powerful that you framed it that way because I know that, but the way you worded it was really dope. I just felt like auntie tried to take me to a therapist and I was like, I'm not about to tell this stranger all my business and they don't want to tell me nothing about them. Well, you know, yes. Auntie would talk about like that medication can be helpful. I was like, yeah, but she don't even know me yet. To hide, like, this was me, right? Auntie, and it would be weird, right? So, because folks would be so confused. How is it that this stellar child that's doing great in school is doing all of this sort of mischievous stuff. I was sneaking out the house to try to see my mother, yes. No matter where she was at in Baltimore. But I was also being chiefly disrespectful to my aunt because I was in pain. And there was no one that had the language or the skill set to be able to, like, they didn't understand. They figured it wasn't anything wrong with me because I was getting straight A's.
Exactly.
I remember, too, being often in Baltimore City, being in Baltimore County, where I guess the better schools were supposed to be. But all of the resources were being provided to folks in the city, Black children in the city. But I guess because I wasn't living in the city, they figured that I wasn't struggling. And so when we're talking about the experiences around how services are provided, we overlook the children that are doing really, really good and with their grades. We don't acknowledge the emotionality and the heart-wrenching experiences that are happening with them as a person. And I know that once I got out of high school, that was at the forefront of my mind. That's some shit. Right? Because I'm a straight A student. I don't have no problems.
Exactly. And I can so relate to you, Shauna. That was very much my experience with my family directly and people outside of my family. It's like, not only was there, they couldn't even see it because I was thriving in the other ways. Also, when they did see hints of it or when I straight up said it, they could not accept it. It was like, you're going to be okay. You're always okay. Like, you're the strong one. You're the smart one. And in that is such a loss. And this is why so much of our conversations around unschooling is about seeing people for who they are, like how they see themselves, not necessarily to meet them where they are, because sometimes that's not your role in someone's life. It's to help them out of the situation they're in, but to meet who they are, where they are in that moment, what their needs are, not based on your assumption, but based on having actual skills that allow you to see a whole person. And so much of that is missing. And so that's what I love about the way that you approach therapy, the way that you approach support, because you are saying, for example, when little Shauna was like, how's she gonna give me medication or whatever? She don't even know me. Or how I'm gonna tell her my business and not vice versa. There's also cultural components in here that we can easily invalidate because we will intellectualize it and we'll put it, that's what schoolishness is. It's this intellectualization or this practice of, well, this is what I know and this is what somebody said is proven. So I'm going to completely ignore the spiritual aspects. I'm going to ignore the quote unquote soft skills. I'm going to ignore the personhood for the intellectualization of what I'm assessing here is happening, and I'm not listening.
Yeah, no, I wasn't with it. And even when I got to college, so essentially what happened is I still had this sort of question from childhood, from elementary, middle school, follow me through to college. And so the question that I was sitting with is, how could I support children to never have to go through what I had gone through? And that was the underlying thing. And I thought I was just going, right? My family was like, oh, she's going to be the one that's going to be the doctor, right? And I tried that and that was whack. And then I thought I was going to be somebody's attorney. And then I thought that was whack too, but I was doing a lot of organizing. And this is where I was learning and seeking where true healing happens in community. Because I began to get a glimpse of that in college. And then once I was in my MSW program and finished, had the opportunity to go through a rites of passage process that really transformed my understanding. Like, it was answering all of my questions around how I could heal myself and what was missing from all of those years. And that's when I really started to know what to look for around how Black people have always healed and how we can center the way we've always healed first. And I feel like we have to do it's either or. So either you go into therapy or you praying. Either you go in,
taking the
medication if you are a harm to yourself or others or recommended, or you're going to lean in on the meditations and the herbalism. And right. It was like, for me, it was less of one or the other and figuring out what is the both and. How can we recognize the modern mental health needs of our folks today acknowledge the system of oppression in a way it's been injected and as foundational to the ways that we've been taught. And I'm saying this as a mental health professional, right? Mm-hmm. Everything about the things that I was taught in my education was rooted from a colonial foundation. And so what does that mean about the quality of care that we're being offered? And even the benchmarks that we set around who is qualified to really hold space for us and support us in our transformation. And yes. I realized that we weren't having these conversations because we talk about anti-racism. Okay, I'm against racism. We talk about being anti-oppressive. Okay, I'm against oppression. But what am I for though? Like, what is I'm for?
Yes.
I'm for liberation-focused healing. The collective experience of that has got landed me to that space of being like, okay, it's not being offered. We need to hold space for folks to be able to identify the greatness in their skill, but uproot the colonial foundations and really seed what liberation looks like and how we hold space for raising critical consciousness within our folks instead of just being like, how can you be a productive citizen in this oppressive ass society?
Oof. Listen. Shauna said a word. I'ma just tell y'all right now, patreon.com/Shauna Marie Brown. The link will be on the show notes page because I am also a patron. And so I get to see what is going on a regular basis. Like the feeling you got from just hearing Shauna say that. Okay. You can get that on a regular basis in ways that can allow you to also spread this lens, this perspective around you, because it's nothing like starting to really recognize the different ways that you can wake up and feeling like there's nobody around you to have that conversation with. So y'all don't be selfish with these feelings that I know you're having as you hear Shauna, because I'm having them too. That's why I'm sharing with y'all. Because this is so much of what you said. There's an element here, Shauna, that makes me think about the way that you said, essentially, let me translate it for how my unschooling for everything ear heard it. It said, I heard, instead of us just thinking that our choices are just the options that are right in front of us, like the things that are a matter of circumstance. For example, the way that as a result of the system we've all been in, people don't even know, have a level of regard for making sure that the people they put in front of us or we choosing the people in front of us are equipped, are versed in the things that we need enough for it to be effective. Instead of making the choices based on what's in front of us, we instead have the opportunity to design what works best for us. It's both and, it's all of the above. It's the history of my grandfather praying for me and me taking that as, yes, I believe in that. And also doing Shauna's webinar because I know that my own practice need some shoring up outside of the roots that my people survived and all of that. It's designing it for myself, not just thinking, okay, this is what a classroom looks like. This is what I'm confined to.
Yeah, like I remember having a chat with a sister recently, and one of the things she said really, I think, illuminates what many of us believe, right? What she said was, you have to have a degree in order to deal with trauma. And I was like, no, that's a no. Like, yeah, we can educate ourselves about the modern sort of research that's been done about trauma. But the reason why Black folks survive, the reason why we're still here, the reason why descendants of Africans enslaved in the U.S. are still vibrant, a powerful people, the reason why indigenous folks are still like, you gonna hear me. You're not going to trample my land. We're going to get to the stewardship of this land. We're going to honor the land correctly. It's because we've always had ways of healing. And it's not that they don't work. It's that we need to remember them. And that colonialism, imperialistic institutions have sought to uproot and to destroy our ways of knowing, to have them be foreign to us. And so like my auntie does know, she can remember some of the things that do support in the healing of ourselves, right? When we learn like breath work, when we learn about moving to the music because our body just feels like it needs to move, when we put our hands in the soil and we cultivate a relationship with the land, when we sit long in the tub, when we pray deep, or when we feel like when grandma dreams of fish, right? Grandma wasn't only dreaming of fish, right? What else was grandma dreaming? Sometimes grandma just intuited what needed to be said to help soothe your heart, right? Or just that holding and rocking. All of the things that I just articulated have been repackaged and then given to us as, listen, this is mindfulness and this is mind-body medicine. And my work, what I've been called to, is to help us remember and to see ourselves and remembering our own healing ways. No, this was yours. It's being repackaged. And that's not bad. It's not all good. It's not all bad, but it is ours. And so how can we ground ourselves and how we can heal? And what would it look like to ground that in community care? Like for me, when I'm like taking unschooling and I'm grounding myself in what that means, it is that forget bump feeling like you just got to go and get a degree to do the healing work and happening in your family and community, how we have tough conversations, how we honor each other in the space. And so, so it's led me to be in community and holding healing space and listening to what folks feel like they've forgotten so that I can support them in getting what they need while also holding the space for folks that committed their life to trying to help folks, not realizing that they were given a resource that was stripped from the original wisdoms and knowing, and helping them find themselves in their healer path again.
Thank you so much for being able to say that in a way that we can really hear the nuances in it and hear ourselves in it. So much of the language around the need for support feels like it has very much been co-opted to feel like this elite thing that you must be able to say that you're doing and you must have these many dollars in order to do it, which is less so an elite thing and more so like the reality of capitalism. But the reality is that therapists, we have therapists in different versions all around us. And also we have therapists who are licensed and have gone through a process who are decolonizing that practice, who can also be effective for us because work is being done to make sure that they are qualified, as Shauna said, to be with us, to be with the vast and varied ways that we deal and heal. And that's so important. And for me, this is why, again, everything is everything, because what Shauna is talking about are relationship skills. How is it that we learn to be with a child who's both brilliant and excited about some elements of learning that we can easily identify, but who is also hurting from an environment at home that is really emotionally harmful to them? How do we navigate the reality of someone we love, an adult that we love, who is also doing things that are really harmful to our boundaries and our psyche? Do we throw them out? What do we do when we know we can't call the police, yet there are ways that we need to feel like we're taken care of and safe, and we know that's not coming from them? These are things, as Shauna said, we know what we're not doing. We know what we don't condone. We know we're not racist. We know we're not this. Check, check, check. But what are we for? And what do the practices of that for look like? And that is what Shauna is looking to affect here. And so many of us are looking to do that in our own ways. When you said, sis, you wanted to ensure that what happened to you as a child didn't happen to any other children, I know that that's a level of resonance that a lot of us feel and connect with, because that's very much a big part of my motivation and my constant push as well, that I know what it feels like to have adults around me that were not trustworthy because of their own trauma and the choices that were informed by that trauma. And so I knew that it was less about what they didn't do and blah, 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 and more about what am I in a position to do and to not do? And what does the practice look like for me not doing some things, which means I need to be really versed in some other things? What does that look like?
It's cool too, because what I started to do was sit with what I felt like I needed as a child, what I wished I had. And so like in the beginning, it was, I really wish I had a sister circle when I was a little one where, you know, I was being taught how to heal myself, right? So yeah. that was one thing. And so then I began to envision, what would it have been like if one of the community mamas held little circles for the girls in the court that I lived in that I could go to even if my mama wasn't there, right? What would nourishing look like if mama's in the neighborhood knew and felt confident and remember how to do activities that were really healing for the children in the community, right?
Yes.
And what would it look like if we really committed to this sort of community care thing where we recommitted to the village style of communing? And yeah, I might still have a therapist. So I started to think, okay, what would have been dope? It wouldn't have been dope if I could have gone to my school psychologist and, you know, have known that I would have been really heard, and perhaps that she would have been able to consider things from both historical and modern day oppression. Yes. Because it's hard to know, is what we are experiencing, is it biological? Is it genetic?
Right. It's very hard
to
discern.
Or is it society? Because, I mean, there's a such thing as socially engineered trauma. We are really clear that, like, we've been uprooted from the ways of the land that are in alignment, right? Colonial interests have made it so that everything is about capitalism. Even our beingness, right, has been commodified and counted. So how can we get back to deep love in community? And how can we, like, re-envision how all our therapists be out here and how they, what theories they using? Are they saying it's an individual experience? Or are we communing with the fact that, like, it's a collective trauma? And how do we heal collective trauma?
Right. How do we know the names of these things so that as we're having these feelings and conversations, we can have it rooted in something to say, this is what I'm experiencing. I may not even have the solution yet, but I do know it's a thing that I'm experiencing that people work through and that there are ways that I can get support around this. This is what we're talking about here, because this is about thriving. It's about recognizing these things and being able to have these skills in place that take therapy off of this top shelf and also out of this colonized space so that we have words that we can use with each other in a moment, whether we're sitting on somebody's couch or a virtual in this instance in the COVID era or not, that we also have language to be able to commune with each other in ways that are informed by these practices because they are so normal and they feel natural and we feel like we're supported in the parts that don't feel normal and natural. This is what we imagine. And Shauna, I know that a part of what you've been doing and how you've been showing up specifically during the time of this pandemic is through the webinars that you're doing to help therapists who are retraining and reframing and de-schooling their practice. Can you tell us just a short little bit about the webinars that you've been doing and just sort of the feedback you've been getting from other mental health professionals who are also looking to liberate themselves and their practices?
Absolutely. So essentially, I started holding virtual space. I was very afraid, y'all, but I did it anyway.
Thank you.
I began to hold space. I began first with a free webinar that is still accessible. It's called 6 Crucial Steps to Decolonizing Your Therapy Practice, where I just, in an hour, just gave some tips, some questions for those that are mental health professionals, healers, to ask themselves as they seek to ground themselves in a more liberatory perspective. And then for those that really wanted to truly commit to the process, I, over the weekend, actually, I just recently facilitated a 4-day, 16-hour training intensive for mental health providers. There were, this time it was 90 of us together, all 4 days, where we explored the colonial foundations of the mental health system. So I taught them, I shed light around how racism was deeply embedded in not only the theories, but the practices and institutions. And then I held space for communing with the history of Black healing and resistance. So how have Black folks always healed here in the United States? How did we here in the U.S., and actually much of it also applies cross-culturally, so even in the Caribbean, I had to sift through a lot of that research, but how have we always healed? What were the practices? Well, how did we survive? And then we did some work around decolonizing concepts of gender and justice. Now, that was a word, y'all.
Oh,
right?
I bet.
So we talked about it. Where did these binaries come from? And then you come in with, well, and then what does this mean now? What does a modern mental health need to Black folk from the lens of Black scholars that seek to truly help us heal, as opposed to the sort of white gaze perspective about what's happening with us, where they like to focus on what's wrong?
Oh, my hand went right up in the air on that one right there. I had to stop because that is a topic that we absolutely need to continue to unpack, because so much of these respectability politics and these perspectives on what we need to do to pull ourselves up and to blah, 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 are about proximity to whiteness, yes, are about the white gaze. And so to hear you say that, because all of these things inform, and you notice too, as a mama, the way that we view and the expectations we have of our children and our partners.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Shauna. Go ahead.
And then we, like, in school, like, if you go to, you get a degree in marriage and family therapy or psychology or social work or whatever, you're going to hear all of what the old white guys had to say, and they're only interested in whiteness. All the theories are rooted in whiteness. And so I held the space for us to unpack Black thought and psychology and social work. So, like, what in the 1930s through the 60s, what was being developed, right? Like, what is this thing, Black psychology, Africana psychology? What's that? And what was they saying? And how can that be used now, right? And then the last few hours we spent where I basically presented my own framework. It's called Liberation Focused Healing, and where I give a framework of 6 major tenets of what I believe we need to include in order to hold a space for therapy that liberates. And so what folks are saying, because after doing the framework, I said, okay, and now you need to locate yourself as a practitioner. What is your relationship to colonial institutions? What are your relationships to these colonial ideas? How can you uproot that from yourself? How can you use this framework to support yourself in your healing and then hold the space for the person that you have the honor of serving? How can you hold space for them? Because it has to be both and. You cannot be about out here talking about, ain't nothing wrong with me, I'm about to hold up this mirror.
Yes, Shauna, yes. Because this is how we bring it back to the Africanness of how we are, how we see things as circular, how we're not in that mindset of colonizer, of doing something to or on or even for somebody. We are with people. Yes.
So we unpack, and along with that, we unpack the difference between a Eurocentric framework and worldview and an African-centered or Eastern worldview. We talked about the difference between everything having to be countable and identifiable in a Eurocentric worldview versus things being fluid and having a felt sense in an African-centered worldview. And then we also uprooted and then have colonial ideas seeped into frameworks around African-centeredness, and how do we need to sort of morph that to really ensure that this is being liberatory for all of us, right? And so the feedback I've been getting, first of all, since I'm fresh off of off of it, it's a lot of feedback. Folks had, there's not any one person that didn't say that their whole life changed because they've been given a framework for healing themselves first, right? And the way that they're thinking. So folks are also saying they feel like they went in debt $200,000 for no reason. They should have just came.
They could have just got what you see.
Yeah. So there's a wide range of emotions, right? Folks are recommitting now, right? In the moment, they're doing their reflection and they're asking for guidance and support on how to do their own, continue to do their own healing work. And so now we have a community. We got a community that's growing.
And that's what I love seeing when I go to your Instagram, when I look on Patreon, when I see your last thing, was it 89?
There were 89 folks that completed it. We got 10 more. That's like, they got a couple more courses to do and then they'll be done. And then we got 100 people that are registered for the self-paced. That's going to start in September 15th. So basically I recorded the experiences and now I'm going to arrange them so that folks can gain access to this, even if they don't have 16 hours straight over a 4-day weekend to gain access. And then we got folks on a waiting list. So we about to get this work, okay? Now we got a whole network of folks that are like, they understand the work that's necessary, and they get to make a choice. Like, we're going to walk this path together, because you can't get that training. You can't unknow what you know. Like, you can't.
Exactly.
Like, once you start doing this work, this unschooling work, once you start, it's like, oh, snap.
There is no going back. You can only continue to find that next thing. And I really appreciate knowing you and having access to you as part of our collective support system, Shauna. It is very much, you are a part of our de-schooling ecology with the work that you're doing. Because when I heard you say, now we have a community, I know that you're talking in large part about the community of mental health professionals who are now doing this level of self-discovery and understanding. But also what I hear in that is that you also have community, because now you have people who happen to be licensed therapists or other people working in mental health who are now working with other people mm-hmm. who see them as people. And because they're doing their own work, as you know, when you start unschooling and you see your own work, a part of seeing your own work is that you also get to see really clearly how you're viewing other people and their work. And then you can be available for them in a very different way.
It's so exciting.
It is so necessary and exciting. Oh my God. Like, you're affecting so many different parts of the ways that we decolonize and make sure that sovereignty is something we live and own and not just something we're constantly seeking and studying. That's what I hear your work being part of. And I'm so grateful for it, Shauna. So if people are listening and like, look, I'm going to need this, this, and this, or I'm going to need to talk to her separately, or I need her to be part of whatever this is that I have going on. What are the best ways for us to reach out to you?
You can follow me on Instagram at HealAssista. That's HealAssista. And you can also go to my website. That's www.ShaunaMurrayBrown.com. And when you peruse there, if you're looking for the course, you just click courses. It's right there, right? But if you're looking to contact me, hit contact. See, listen, like, I got your back, right? But yes, I'm often on Instagram, and I'm also on Facebook, Shauna Murray Brown, LCSWC. Oh, one more thing. I gotta say this soon. And I might just put it out here because people gonna keep listening. And they're going to need this. Soon we will be launching a directory of all of the folks that have taken the training and have made the commitment. And so that website is therapythatliberates.com.
Mm-hmm. Now, y'all know these show notes page are about to be so litty. I don't know if people still say that. I feel like I felt my daughters being
you
like,
said
Mom,
it, so folks still say it.
Thank you. I'm folks. Right. Yes. I am folks. So these show notes page are about to be so litty because you see these opportunities here. Like, whether you are in school yourself, whether you are unschooling and building a way of being in community with other people, or you are just on your unschooling journey that ain't got nothing to do with other people, it's just personal. You see that the resources that Shauna is cultivating and the community that she's cultivating is going to be one of the stops on your journey. It might be a long stop, it might be a little stop, might be now, it might be a year from now. But at some point, absolutely, in your journey, the way to reimagine, reclaim, and in some cases, just get an understanding of healing work in the context of you is vital. So, Shauna, thank you for being a resource for that for us. Oh my gosh. I didn't even know about the therapy that liberates. Is that what it is? I didn't even know about that. I was like, let me write that
right
down.
Now, but. Yeah, folks are getting prepared right now to put the information on there, but it's in there.
Yeah, I'm excited.
First person to know.
What? Look at y'all getting premier information on these Fair to Free Child podcast streets. Oh my gosh. I love it. Thank you so much, Shauna Murray Brown, for your time, for taking some time to be with us, and for doing what you're doing with your time and energy. We love and appreciate and need you, sis. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, boo.
Be sure to head over to raisingfreepeople.com/184 for all links related to this episode. Much love and chat to you next week.